awesome. Amen. How many people are excited to be in church today? Amen. May is the fifth month of the year. Welcome to the month of grace. I declare the grace of God over you in the name of Jesus. Come on, somebody receive it. I declare that miracles will happen to you in this month of May in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. And I see my dude, Tyler, is one of our worship leaders. He's sitting right there. Tyler, please stand with your lovely wife, Juliana. Well, Tyler just graduated. You don't see him on the stage because he just got his master's degree. Can we just celebrate Tyler in the building? Amen. Woohoo! What an awesome man of God. Amen. Today, we're beginning a new message series. And by the way, let me say this, next week at our Mother's Day service, we're going to take time to pray for those that have lost their mothers, amen. We know that Mother's Day can be an exciting time for others, at the same time, one of the most difficult days also. So we'll take time to pray because we're family, amen. And then we'll pray for those mothers that have lost babies, and then we'll also pray for those mothers that are believing God for babies, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I'm so excited about today. As you see this whiteboard here, today we're going to teach the Word of God. Amen. How many people just love a good old Bible study, huh? Right? Today we're going to teach the Word of God. We're beginning a new message series entitled Types and Shadows. Types and Shadows. Please say that with me one time. Types and Shadows. I want you to know that the early church, which was the first church that ever existed, and this is the church of the book of Acts, I want you to note that the early church never had the New Testament to read. Let me say that again, Old Testament. The early church, which is the first church that ever existed, and this is the church of the book of Acts, they never had the New Testament to read. Just think about that. They never had the New Testament. In other words, for them to encounter Jesus, they had to read the books of old. Just think about that. They had to read the Old Testament to encounter Jesus, his nature, his attributes, come on, his values. They had to read the books of old to see Jesus. I want you to know that this entire book here called the Bible is about one person. What's his name? Come on, say it one more time. What's his name? This is all about Jesus. Jesus is there in the Old Testament. Please write this statement down. The Old Testament is Jesus concealed, but the New Testament is Jesus revealed. Oh, hallelujah. I'm going to say that again. The Old Testament is Jesus concealed, and the New Testament is Jesus revealed. In other words, if you want to get the totality of Jesus, you have to understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament. When you read the New Testament and you encounter Jesus, you're not encountering the fullness of who Jesus is until you understand and see Jesus in the Old Testament. Hallelujah. So what I want to do in this entire month of May is that I want to show you Jesus in the Old Testament. Is that good? Is that good, somebody? Am I the only one excited here? Come on. I want to dig Jesus and find him in the Old Testament. I want to be like Jesus. How many people in this place want to be like Jesus? How many people want to encounter Jesus? It's all about Jesus. You make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name, Jesus. Master, Savior, Jesus. There's just something about that name. He was there. The Bible says he was slain before the foundation of the world. So it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. I want to give you a little synopsis, or rather a panoramic view of the Old Testament. Can I do that? Come on, turn to your neighbor. Make sure they have a pen. Make sure they are writing somewhere. If not, make sure they have an iPhone. If they have an Android, please tell them to leave. Just kidding. Just kidding. But make sure everybody is writing today. This is a class. This is a class today. Amen. So here's a quick little synopsis of the Old Testament. The Old Testament is broken down into four groups. Amen. I'm going to take you to Bible school in the next 2 minutes. It's broken down into four groups. The first group is called the Pentateuchs. Somebody say Pentateuchs. One more time. Pentateuchs. You're doing good. Pentateuchs. Pentateuchs. The second section of the Bible is known as the history section. Somebody say history. Third section is the poetry section. Somebody say poetry. And then the last section is the prophets. The prophets. Somebody say prophets. This word Pentateuchs, two word, Pentateuchs. You know that penta means five. Teuchs simply means books. So the five books, this is referring to the five books of Moses. The Pentateuchs are also referred to as the Torah. These are the five books of Moses. They all reveal Jesus. It's amazing. Amen. And those are what? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Woo! We've got the church in the building. Amen. If you don't know this stuff, don't feel left out. Just pull out your Bible. There's a table of contents there. Don't be ashamed. And then we have what? The history books. There are 12 history books, and they all reveal Jesus by showing the covenant that God made with the children of Israel. Amen. Those are Joshua. What else? Judges, Ruth, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther. Woo! Come on, somebody. Can we put our hands together? Celebrate this young man here. You've got to know the Bible. Come on, somebody. That's the history section. And then we have the poetry, and there are five books: Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Songs of Solomon. Amen. Those are the poetry books. And then finally, we have the prophets. The prophets are broken down into two groups. We have the major prophets and the minor prophets. Five major prophets and 12 minor prophets. Amen. The major prophets are Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Daniel, and Ezekiel. Amen. The minor prophets, 12 of them. I hope I can remember them. We have Hosea. We have Joel. We have Amos. We have Obadiah. We have Jonah. We have Micah. We have Nahum. We have Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. Come on, somebody, celebrate Jesus. Amen. That's the Old Testament. Amen. Tell somebody, your pastor may look young, but he wasn't born last night. Listen, I love to bring the Bible alive. There's a generation that needs to know the Word of God. I use a lot of stories when I teach, but it's all embedded in the Word of God. Now, I want you to see that the Pentateuchs, they all reveal Jesus. It's amazing. Genesis reveals Jesus as what? As the seed. The Bible says the seed of the woman will crush the head of the serpent, but the serpent will bruise his heel. Who's the seed? Jesus. So Genesis, the Pentateuchs are revealing Jesus. We are seeing Jesus in the Pentateuchs. We're seeing Jesus in the Genesis as the seed. This is a prophecy of the death and resurrection of Jesus before Jesus is even born. So the devil kills Jesus, but he doesn't realize that a seed has to die before it brings out life. He should have read the book of Genesis. So he thought he's succeeding by killing Jesus, but he doesn't realize that he's only fulfilling prophecy because a seed has to die before it can bring out life. That's why I want to encourage you, never despise small beginnings. God always begins with a small little seed, a little mustard seed. He's doing a big thing inside of you because you have the seed of Jesus in the name of Jesus. I want to encourage somebody here who is beginning small. Don't despise your small beginnings. God is in it. Don't despise your darkness. Though it feels like you're being buried, you're only being buried because a seed has to die. It has to be buried before it can produce life. Life is coming your way in the name of Jesus. Somebody shout amen. We see all types and shadows of Jesus. In the book of Exodus, Jesus is revealed as the Passover lamb. And I talked about that on Easter Sunday. The Pentateuchs reveal Jesus. The history reveals Jesus. Poetry reveals Jesus. Song of Solomon, so romantic. That's a love story. That's Jesus' love story itself. And then the prophets. Please write this down. I want you to know this. Each one of the prophets, both major and minor, they are all types and shadows of Jesus. Isn't that amazing? And next week, somebody say next week. Whatever you do, don't miss next week, because I'm going to pick one of the prophets that's a type and shadow of Jesus. And this is a prophet that reveals the love of God. If you know some people that second guess themselves, they're still struggling with insecurities and all kinds of stuff, man, you're going to see Jesus come alive next week like never before. Somebody say amen. Now, today, now that I've laid that foundation, today I want to show you just one type and shadow from the Old Testament that represents Jesus. We're going to start here, lay a foundation, take it easy, and then we're going to take it from there next week and build on this foundation. Now, I want to talk about the tabernacle of Moses. The tabernacle of Moses. Because it is the type and shadow of Jesus. Please write this down. The entire tabernacle of Moses is Jesus himself. Now, let's understand why the tabernacle of Moses is important. If you don't know what the tabernacle of Moses is, don't worry. I'm going to explain a little bit. When the children of Israel left Egypt, God did not want them to be alone. God didn't want them to be alone. So God gave a blueprint to Moses to build this tabernacle, this physical box that they would carry, and the presence of God would come and dwell in this box. That was the tabernacle of Moses. So there they were. They left Egypt and they're walking in the wilderness. It looks like they're alone. But the presence of Jesus, the presence of God, was with them by way of the tabernacle. Whatever you do, don't do anything without the presence of Jesus. We need the presence of Jesus. We are empty without Jesus. We are powerless without Jesus. That's why we are a worshiping church, because of the presence of Jesus. Somebody say amen. So wherever they went, that tabernacle represented the presence of God. But I want you to know that that tabernacle is literally a type and shadow of Jesus himself. Are you guys ready? You ready? Ready to go to class here? Here we go. So let's start off this way. The tabernacle was broken down into three sections. Three sections. Here we go. Some of you know this. What was this section known as? Outer courts. Great students. This was the outer courts. Where's the spell check on this thing when you need it? Come on, right? the second stage there was what? Inner courts. You guys are doing good. And the third stage was what? Holy of Holies. Ah, I love this. Of Holies. Boy, I really need a spell check on that one. Looks good. Now, I want you to know that this entire tabernacle here represented Jesus. When they left Egypt and they went out into the wilderness, they had the presence of God with them. But this represents Jesus. They had Jesus with them. This is a type and shadow of Jesus. I'm going to show you seven things that were there in the tabernacle, and it's going to blow your mind because they all represent Jesus. Not only do they represent Jesus, they teach us the attributes of Jesus. They teach us the nature of Jesus, and they make the New Testament come alive. Are you guys ready? Here we go. The first thing that was there was the door. Somebody say door. It's the door. Or the gate. It was the door. Or the gate. In other words, you could not get into the outer courts without the door. Let's turn our Bibles here to John chapter 10, 9 to 16. What does Jesus say? I am the door. Woo! Can you see this? Jesus says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will not go, and will go in and out and find pasture. He says, I am the door. You could not get into this place. You could not get into the outer courts or anywhere without the door. And Jesus himself is the door. Jesus was represented in the Old Testament as the door. The door gives you access. I want you to know this. When you worship Jesus, when you've received Jesus, you have been given access in the name of Jesus. That's good news. That's good news. Favor and access. You know, they taught us that we couldn't come in this school and worship. They taught us that they had never had a church worship in a school in Medford before. And I was praying, and God said, son, I am your door, and I am your access. Believe me for it. And 6 months later, they were telling us, you can go in, and you can go in. I wanted to give up, but God says, don't quit. I am the door. I'll give you access. And then God spoke to me, get Baba Inello, get an Italian man, go see the mayor, tell the mayor we'll give you an offer you can't refuse. And we went there with Bobby, and they gave us the place. Come on, somebody. Now, thank God for Bobby, but how many people know it's really Jesus who made it happen, because he is our access. He is the door. I want to declare over you in the name of Jesus, every person in this place that's looking for access, doors that have been shut, let them open right now, because Jesus is your access in the name of Jesus. I pray that doors that men have shut will open for you in this season in the name of Jesus. Opportunities and the favor of God, because Jesus is your access. Have you ever been at a club? Well, I hope not last night. Hope not last night. But have you ever been at a club and you're at the back of the line, right? Out in the streets. And all of a sudden, you know the bouncer. And he does one of these or whistles and says, man, come over. All of a sudden, you come from the back. And even your walk changes, right? You walk. You kind of, and you make sure you look at the people that are standing in line. Like, you walk. And before you enter in, you stop again, you look at everybody, and they're all wondering, who is he? Is he Denzel's little brother? Who is he? And you're just walking, like, you get a little spring in your walk. You make sure you take your time. Why? Because you have access, because you know somebody. Jesus is your access in the name of Jesus. I declare that you're coming from the back to the front, because Jesus is the door. Jesus is the access. Somebody say amen. In this month of May, may you believe him for the miraculous, because he is your door. He says, I'm the door. That's the first thing. Now, the second thing, there were two things inside the outer court. The first thing was what we call the brazen altar. Somebody say brazen altar. This is Bible study. Now, there was an altar here. It was a brazen altar, and it was made out of bronze. And bronze stands for judgment and condemnation. And the priest had to go through this door, who is Jesus himself. And then they had to take a lamb and place it right here. Here we go. That's a good little lamb. They had to place a lamb there. And fire would come from heaven and consume the lamb. And they would offer sacrifice. I want you to know that that lamb and the brazen altar represents who? Jesus himself. Let's read a scripture here. John chapter 1, verse 29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said what? Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away. Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Who is this Lamb? His name is Jesus. This is the great exchange. Jesus has come to take our sin, and we have taken his righteousness. It doesn't matter where you've been and what you've done. I want you to know that you are the righteous of God. You are the righteousness of God. Because some of you are still struggling with some of the things you did in the past. You need to know that Jesus has done it for you. This is the place of the great exchange. Somebody shout hallelujah. Now the third thing that was there, out here in the outer courts, was a basin called lava. And they had water in there. It's a basin or a bucket with water. It's the lava. There we go. Or lava. Lava with my African beautiful accent. This was the lava. It was water. It was the washing of the word of God. Let's go to Isaiah 1:18. It says, though your sins are red as scarlet, I will wash you white as snow. The priests would have to stop here after they sacrificed. They had to wash the blood. They had to wash off. Yeah. And Jesus has washed us white as snow. So this lever here also represents Jesus. It's Jesus himself. Let's read Ephesians 5:25-26. It says, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy. It says, cleansing her by the washing with the water through the word. Cleansing her by the washing through the water, by the washing with water through the word. There's water in here. This is Jesus himself. I want you to know this. It's good to see manifestations of the miraculous. It's good to see the power of God. But I want you to know that manifestations don't change you. It's only revelation that changes you. It changes you from the inside out. That's why Judas was there with Jesus. Judas saw Jesus walk on water. Judas saw Jesus call Lazarus from the dead. But he was not changed. Because transformation is not a product of manifestation. Transformation is the product of revelation. When you're changed from the inside out. That's why you have to keep coming to church. You've got to keep reading the word of God. Because God is still changing you. There's some people in this place, if you touch them the wrong way, they're going to punch you in the face. They'll not show you the other cheek. Why? Because they're still being transformed. Jesus, the word of God, who is washing us, is still transforming us. I've told you this story before. My wife used to have the worst temper ever. I mean, we got married, and my God, she shut the hotel down in honeymoon. I mean, she didn't even wait until honeymoon was over. I mean, she kicked that table in the hotel room. I said, man, I got myself in trouble. She locked me out. I was running in the hotel lobby. I ran to the pool. I went everywhere. I was working out when I didn't want to work out. She kicked me out. She had the worst temper ever, but she started reading the word of God. That woman you see, it's like she's not even the same person. Why? The washing of the word of God. Amen. I know there's some people here. You're still dropping them F-bombs. I know it. Come on, I know it. Amen. Well, you don't have to say amen to that. I know it. Amen. I know you're all nice and serious. I know it. When you get upset, that F comes out, and it's not favor either. It comes out. You want to give people a piece of yourself. Well, if you keep doing that, one of these days you won't have anything remaining. Don't keep giving pieces of yourself. Amen. Tell somebody, stop giving pieces of yourself to people. But the word of God is Jesus, and he's transforming you. Somebody shout hallelujah. Let's keep going here. Now, the other thing that was there was a lampstand. It was a candlestick right here on the left. Candlestick. Oh. And you could put 7 candles there, and the number 7 represents perfection. Jesus is your perfection. You won't be perfect by yourself. Jesus is your perfection. That candlestick represented Jesus. That candlestick was light. And the Bible also says, here we go, John 8:12, he says, I am the light of the world. Who is the light of the world? Jesus. And that candlestick represented Jesus. It's also known as the menorah, represented Jesus himself. And light represents illumination. Illumination represents revelation and perspective. I declare that as you encounter Jesus, that he will begin to give you a fresh perspective in the name of Jesus. I declare visions and innovations in the name of Jesus. Witty ideas are yours. A spirit of wisdom is yours in the name of Jesus. That's why the next Steve Jobs and Bill Gates of this generation have to come outside of the have to come from the church, because Jesus is our light. Jesus is our perspective. Somebody shout hallelujah. Come on, it's time for innovations. It's time for the church of God to dream and create things that will produce finances to finance the gospel, because he is your perspective. Come on, receive it now in this place in the name of Jesus. Some of us are stale, no more visions. You're running out of ideas. He's your perspective. Here we go. Here's another one. Now, on this right side here was what we call the showbread. The showbread. There was a table with bread. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. What's the showbread? It's Jesus himself. Matthew 4 verse 4 says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. The bread of life is Jesus himself. He gives you strength in a generation where many people are weary and tired and depressed and anxious. Jesus has become our life because Jesus nourishes us. He is the bread of life. Somebody say amen. Let's go to the next one. Here we go. Now, I love this one. I love this one. Right here in the center, right here, just before the Holy of Holies, just before the Holy of Holies, was the altar of incense. Incense. Here we go. It was the altar of incense. And by the way, right here, there was a veil that separated the inner courts to the holies of holies. But next to that was the altar of incense. Ah, I love that. The priest had to get a coal, a piece of coal, from here, from the brazen altar, and put it here, and they would burn incense. And the instruction was that that incense or that altar would never stop burning. In other words, it was burning day and night. The Bible says in the book of Romans, Romans 8:34, Jesus is praying and interceding for you. This altar of incense represent prayers. And Jesus is seated at the right hand of majesty, and he's praying for you. Come on, you missed a good place to say amen. The reason I have confidence is not because of pride. It's not self-confidence. But it's because Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, is praying for Pastor Zenzo. That's good news. Jesus is praying for Impact Church. All I have to do, spiritual warfare is really just agreeing with what Jesus is praying for me. And the instruction was that this altar would never stop burning. I want you to know that Jesus is always praying for you. There's always somebody praying for you because Jesus is praying for you. Come on, that's a good place to celebrate. That's why you can't die before your time. People can't do crazy things to you because Jesus himself is praying for you. He's praying for you. No one can destroy this church because Jesus is praying for Impact Church. No one can touch your life because Jesus is praying for you. No matter what happens, remember this, Jesus is praying for you. Come on, somebody take a moment here and just celebrate Jesus. Somebody take a moment and just thank Jesus. Thank you for praying for me. Thank you for praying for my wife. Thank you for praying for my family. I exalt you, Jesus. Thank you for praying for me. Somebody is always praying for you. The instruction was for this to never stop. And then here's the final piece, because we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. The final piece was right in the holies of holies. It was something known as the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant. And that represents Jesus also. Here's my final scripture. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 15. There we go. Hebrews 9, 15. This is why he is the one who mediates a new covenant. Who are they talking about? Jesus. Jesus is your new covenant. This is good news for somebody, because somebody in this place has believed that your family is cursed. Somebody in this place has believed, my mother died with cancer at the age of whatever, whatever, XX. So I'm so scared that the same thing will happen to me. No, it's not going to happen to you. If you've received Jesus, you're part of a new covenant. New bloodline, baby. New DNA. You're part of the new covenant. Jesus is the new covenant, and it gives you, here's what it says, so that all who are called can receive the eternal inheritance. You have received an inheritance. It's a new DNA. It's a new heritage, and his name is Jesus. Now, here's a good thing. Here's what I love as we end here. If you see this thing, it's in the shape of something. Come on, somebody can see this. Here we go, here we go, here we go. Woo! Come on, somebody celebrate. Hallelujah. Come on, Impact, you can do better than that. I know you love that. Come on, I know you love it. Come on. Hallelujah! It's in the shape of the cross. Because the tabernacle is a type and shadow of Jesus the Messiah. Before he came and died, when the children of Israel were walking in the wilderness, it was the cross walking. Hallelujah. 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 Now listen to this. There was a king called Barak. He hired a prophet called Balaam to curse the children of Israel. And the Bible says Balaam went in four positions. He went to the north, the east, the south, and he looked, and he could not curse them. Every time he tried to curse them, he couldn't. You know why? Because all he saw when he saw the children of Israel was the cross of Jesus. And you cannot curse the cross of Jesus. Nobody can curse you in the name of Jesus. Death itself cannot take you before your time. This was a type and shadow of Jesus. Somebody shout hallelujah. Here was the instruction. They had how many tribes in Israel? The tribes of how many? 12. I love that. By the way, the number 12 is the number of foundation and establishment. Jesus established the kingdom of 12 disciples. And then he did it again in the upper room with 120 disciples. That's the multiple of 12. They had 12 tribes, and the instruction was that as they carried the tabernacle, three tribes were up north, three tribes this way, three tribes that way, three tribes that way. What number is that? What's the mathematics? 12. So as they walked in the wilderness, looked like they were alone and lost, but they were not alone. The tabernacle was with them. Jesus the Messiah was with them. I love this. Hallelujah. Jesus the Messiah was with them. And nobody could curse them or destroy them. And then the Bible says the veil that separated the inner courts to the most holy place when Jesus died on the cross, according to Matthew 27, 50 to 51, that veil ripped. When Jesus came in the Old Testament, in order for you to understand what happened when he died and that veil ripped, you can't understand fully what happened there until you understand the tabernacle. That Jesus was saying that you now have full access into the place of the covenant, into the place of a relationship with him. Now you have access. You don't need a lamb. Come on, somebody. You don't need all the rituals. Please don't go home and build this ark in your backyard. Your neighbors will think you're cuckoo. Please. It just represents Jesus and his attribute. And here's what Jesus is saying. He says, I'm the door. I'm giving you access. I'm your sacrifice. I'm the greatest exchange. You can come with your shame and I'll give you confidence. He says, I am your righteousness. He says, I'm the light. I give you perspective and vision. And then Jesus says, I replenish you and I give you strength. I am your bread. He says, I am praying for you. I'm interceding for you and I've given you a new covenant and it's the cross and nobody can touch you. You're mine. You're blessed. You're mine. You can walk in confidence. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Somebody say amen and amen. Come on, right here. Let's stand. Let's just encounter Jesus. I want everybody to come. Amen. Let's encounter Jesus. Chris, please lift up that piano. Do you feel the presence of Jesus in this place? It's amazing that he was there in the Old Testament. He was setting this whole thing up. And he's revealed to us, Jesus, you're my access. Jesus, you're the door. Jesus, you're my sacrifice. Jesus, you're my righteousness. Jesus, you're my vision. You're my strength. You're my intercessor. You stand on the gap for me. And because of you, I have new DNA. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Let's lift up that piano. I want you to fill up this room. I want you to fill up this room all the way, all the way. Lift up your hands if you can. Lift up your hands if you can. We worship you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Go to see. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus, we love you. Oh, how we love you. You are the wonder. Our hearts adore. Jesus, we love you. Everything you have, cry out, Jesus, we love you. About the tabernacle, what you have to realize is that before your problem existed, Jesus already had a plan to give you victory. Before your problem ever existed, Jesus in the Old Testament, Jesus in eternity already had a plan to rescue you. Come on and worship him as he rescues you in this place. Jesus, we love you. Jesus, we What this teaches us is that before your problem ever existed, Jesus was. He was and is to come. If you've never received Jesus, you can't live a place like this without saying yes to Jesus. I'm going to say 1, 2, 3. I want you to throw your hand up and say, I want to give my life to Jesus. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. Hands, hands, hands. Thank you for those hands.